This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. The euro currency was supposed to unite Europe. Germans could travel to France without a visa. The Spanish could buy skis in Italy. But the crisis in Europe has made this much clear. Breaking down borders isn't as easy as the Dreamers had hoped. This week, NPR's Planet Money team is reporting from the borders that divide Europe. Today's stop, Belgium and Holland, two countries who trade everything but have drawn the line at one very popular commodity.
I'm Zoe Chase. I'm down here on the River Maas in the Maastricht, Netherlands, where people, when they have a little time off, some time to hang out, they like to get high, like this guy.
My name's Jeroen de Vries. Right now, I'm smoking a joint.
You know, Zoe, they like the marijuana on this side of the border, too. I'm Robert Smith here in Liège, Belgium. And the problem is, it's not legal in Belgium to smoke marijuana. And so, on weekends and evenings, Belgians used to stream across the border into Maastricht looking to get high in the city's coffee shops.
The name of our city is synonym for cannabis.
Onno Hoes is the mayor of Maastricht. For most people, the city's known as the place the European Union was born. The document that everyone signed 20 years ago that created the euro, it's called the Maastricht Treaty. But having its name on the founding document had this unexpected consequence. All the news coverage from that time just happened to mention all these coffee shops in the city where it was legal to buy pot.
So once everyone had the same money and the borders were open, European dreamers returned to Maastricht to get high.
But I don't like people who specially come in, who only come in to buy cannabis.
The mayor says pot smokers don't go to the museums.
There's a lot of traffic problems.
Litter.
A lot of illegal parking.
And so last May, the smokers here in Belgium were in for a little surprise when they crossed the border and stopped at the first coffee shop over the bridge into the city. Here, let me show you. Like most of the cannabis shops here, it has a cool American name. It's called Easy Going. There's nobody here. They've pulled the curtains, and in four languages, they have the sign up, temporarily closed.
The mayor of Maastricht had pushed through this new law that said foreigners were no longer allowed to enter the coffee shops, and a bunch of coffee shops closed in protest. They thought it was ridiculous. You didn't have to show a passport at the international border, but you now had to show a passport at the entrance to the cannabis shops.
There was an economic hit, too. Mark Josemans, owner of the Easygoing shop, says that foreigners accounted for 93% of his customers. He says with all the talk of one Europe, of bailing each other out of the financial crisis, Holland was killing the dream.
We have to help Spanish banks with surviving, and Greece banks, and so on and so on. But the funny thing is that only our money is allowed to go to the Spanish banks, but the Spanish pot smokers are not allowed to come to the Dutch coffee shops anymore.
Only a few coffee shops are managing to stay open. This coffee shop is called the Mississippi. It's on an old barge in the river. There's a passport control station at the front, so the foreigners don't come anymore. Dutch people have to put their name on an official list, so most of them don't show up either. The ones that do are not happy.
In English, bullshit.
The owner sits at one of the tables and sulks.
So in the day, maybe 30, 40 people come inside the shops. And before it used to be 1,500 a day. Maybe I have to change it to a real coffee shop where you can drink coffee and eat some donuts or something.
Change it to a Starbucks.
Change it to a Starbucks, maybe. I thought about this, really, really.
Stefan Korsten says this rolls back the clock to the days before the euro, when his grandparents used to smuggle butter across the same river. Open borders were supposed to fix all this. Now look at it. Up at the counter, they used to have the weed just sitting out, buffet style, for customers to choose. These days, he gets so little traffic, the pot has to be kept in Tupperware containers so it doesn't dry out. All the names are written in Sharpie on top. Like Buddha.
This is lemon.
Nepal.
Let me see. Whoa.
Whoa, she's...
Yeah.
Sorry, rest of Europe, none for you. Of course, Belgians can still come over the border, euros in hand, looking for drugs. They just have to go to a source that may seem more familiar to those of you in the United States, your friendly neighborhood drug dealer.
Ganja boys in the building. Holland, Maastricht. Getting that paper, you know what I say? Bang.
You will know Ganja boy when you see him. He's sprawled back on a park bench by the river, grinning his head off.
Buku money, big money.
I notice your phone keeps ringing.
Yes, that's the money. Bang.
And so Europe learns an old lesson. If you put up barriers, someone will find a way around them, and they'll pocket the money. Ganja Boy doesn't pay the taxes the coffee shops had to pay, and he provides the same service.
We have Dutch people that buy, people from other countries, everyone. Grandmas. Yes. Grandmas. Yes. Uh-huh. They do that too.
Back across the border in Belgium, a lot of smokers aren't even bothering with Maastricht anymore. I ran into Rashid Moula in the center of town and I asked him, where do you find your weed now?
The better thing to do is to use your nose inside the carrier.
So to smell for marijuana in cafes,
yes,
around here?
In the discotheque. There is a lot of discotheque smell.
He also says there are taxis you can call that will bring you pot. No need to drive all the way to the Netherlands when it can come right to you. Robert Smith in Liege, Belgium.
And I'm Zoe Chase, chilling down by the river, Maastricht, Netherlands.
And tomorrow, Planet Money takes us to Italy, which is still struggling with problems of unification that date back to the 19th century. The country has a great divide between north and south.
It's the same country, but in reality, it's two different worlds.
The story of how one man at a pasta factory set out to change that reality. One pasta, two Italies, tomorrow on the program.